so glad you're able to join us this evening. I want to welcome our church family and all of our friends. And as I always say, those of you who may be viewing us for the very first time live or at a later date, we welcome you in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to take time out of our day, to take time out of our life and set at the feet of Jesus. You've heard me say this many times. Just sit at his feet, just like Mary did. Sit at his feet and hear his words. I'm telling you, thank God for his word. Now, I want you to believe with me tonight, because I'm not looking to me. I hope you're not looking to me. See, we go beyond. We set our affection on things above, praise the Lord. We look unto him. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the head of the church. He's the one who gave himself for us. He's the one who made requests, and now the Holy Ghost is here on the inside of us and with us. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will take the things that are of him, and he will show them unto us. He will guide us. He will give us utterance. He will bring light and revelation to our heart and understanding. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So why don't you agree with me tonight as we get into his words and hook up with me. Believe God with me. Hallelujah. I covet your agreement, and I thank you for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much as we approach your word. We thank you for this time together with you. We thank you for this time together with one another. Oh, praise God. We thank you for the ability, Lord, that people can watch online. And there is no time nor distance in the spirit realm. Your words are spirit and they are life. We open up our hearts to them, Father. We thank you that your words are even medicine, health to our flesh. I thank you tonight that health and healing goes forth as the word of God goes forth. Thank you for direction, illumination, understanding, impartation into the lives of the people that you love and gave yourself for. Oh, we honor you. We thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, for being such a wonderful helper. Thank you that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You've anointed me, Lord, to preach the good news, the gospel, your words. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles or your smart device or whatever you have, let's go to the book of James, the 5th chapter. This is our text that we've been looking at for the last several weeks on Wednesday night. We started a series about a month ago called Establish Your Heart. And we'll be in this series for a while. And I'll explain here in just a minute. But as you look at James chapter 5, we'll read verse 7. He said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Notice he didn't say, "Be concerned, brethren." "Be fearful, brethren." No, he said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." We know he's talking about the Father and how the Father has patience. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. You know, he's waiting for more people to come in, to be born again, to be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and translated over into the kingdom of his dear Son. But he also said to us here, he said, "Be ye also patient." Establish your hearts. That's what we've been looking at. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Holy Ghost spoke this to me. Well, it's been a little over a month ago, about this series, about establishing your heart. And he gave me this scripture. This is an end time scripture. And one of the things we see here is not only are we to be patient, but we're also to establish our heart. You know, we looked at in the book of Proverbs where the Proverbs says, "Guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence." And so we need to establish our hearts, especially at this time. Where we are now, because the coming of the Lord is nigh. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know if you've heard those words lately, but Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. There's nothing else that has to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. Glory to God. Oh, I'm telling you, it's important that we look at this and allow the witness of the Holy Ghost to witness this to us at this moment. And so when the Lord witnessed this in me, you know, a little over a month ago, all this right we're doing for the last 4 weeks, it was just a witness. But we've already got four services in the bank now. But it began as a witness. I had a witness in me about this scripture. And also, I had written down in a book, in one of my notebooks, scriptures that were really important to me. Matter of fact, I was doing prison ministry, and some of the guys at the prison asked me, they said, "Pastor Roger, are there some key scriptures that you look to, that you've always looked to in your life? Important scriptures that are important to you, that are go-to scriptures, you know? We just go to these scriptures. These are the old trusties, you know what I mean? These are the ones that when you're in situations, you go to." And I said, yes. They said, "Would you make us a list of them?" And so I made a list of them and made copies and gave to them. But when the Lord quickened the scripture to me, he brought that up to me. And so that's what we've been doing. We started in the Old Covenant, and we begin to look at certain scriptures that are just very important scriptures to me that I've always wanted my heart to be established in. Because these scriptures that we look at really cover every circumstance in our life. You know, we've got a lot of scriptures to go through. We're going to begin in the New Testament tonight. And we're going to begin in the book of Matthew and go forward. And there are a lot of scriptures we're going to look at. Now, listen, there are many scriptures we haven't looked at, even in the Old Covenant. You know, we can't look at every scripture in the Bible. It'd take us forever. But these are ones that the Holy Ghost has brought to my remembrance as I've read my Bible and went through my Bible through the years. These are scriptures that I look to. Exceeding great and precious promises. You know, that's what Peter said in his second epistle. He said, "God has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness." And he said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, that by these scriptures, we might be partakers of the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in this world." Oh, glory to God. And we also looked at 3 John, where John wrote, which he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, and he wrote, he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear and to know that my children are walking in the truth." Not only do they know the truth, they're walking in it. There's no greater joy than that in the Father's heart than for you and me to establish our hearts in His promises, in His Word. Have His Word put on the inside of us. And not only to have it put on the inside of us, but for it, His words, to be a part of our life. Can you say amen? Now, let's go to the book of Matthew. Hallelujah. Let's pick this up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Glory to God. I want to say this again. That there's many things that we can say or could say, and we won't be able to say everything about these scriptures. But we trust, and I'm trusting the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm asking you to believe God with me. Now, listen, I've prayed. I've looked at these scriptures. I've meditated. I've prayed over this service. But I need your faith as well. You know, you can draw out things from heaven, from the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can be believing God, and as your faith reaches heaven and takes hold of things, the Spirit of God can flow and minister things through my mouth that comes through my heart that bypasses my mind, and I can speak and say things, and those words are spirit and life, and they'll minister to you and others. Hallelujah. That's why Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 1. We're not going to get there yet, but we see that in Romans 1. Now, Matthew chapter 4, let's look at this. Very, very, matter of fact, let's back up. I want to look at the scripture, but I think I'm quickening my spirit. Let's go back up to the last two verses in chapter 3. Let's start with verse 16, and it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God." Now, stay with me here. We know this is the situation where John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, the heavens were opened unto him. Now notice this. And he saw it with his eye. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now think about this. When he was baptized, when he came up out of that water, he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him. He saw it. And he also heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." So he saw with his eyes and he heard with his ears. Let's go to chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now look at verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now I'm going to stop right here. We know that the devil came to him a couple more times, and every time Jesus said, "It is written." 3 times he said, "It is written," and the devil left him for a season. Angels came and ministered to him. But I want you to listen to me very carefully. I think this will answer some questions. Jesus saw the Spirit of God. Jesus heard the voice of God. Jesus was led by God or led by the Spirit. So from that point on, when he came out of that river, he was being led by God. He was following God. And yet the devil came to him to tempt him. I want to say that again. He was following God. He was being led by the Spirit. And yet the devil came to him and tempted him, came to his life. You know, that answers some questions for me. And it should answer some questions for you. Because here's the deal. We see that the devil wants to try to bring the question mark into your mind and to my mind. He even tried to get Jesus to question who he was. Even after Jesus heard the voice that said, "This is my beloved Son," the devil came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God." Now, this is a real temptation. The Bible says Jesus was tempted. If he wasn't tempted, then this is a lie. The devil tried to get him not only to question God, but he also tried to get him to prove that he was the Son of God. We don't have to prove nothing. But the devil came to get Jesus to question who he was. He came to get him to question what God had said to him about him. You know, this is nothing new. This is what took place in the garden when the serpent came in and the devil said, "Hath God said?" Because, see, the devil wants to get you to question God, God's word, God's nature, God's love. And yet, in situations in our life, you know, people get into situations and they go, "Well, I just don't understand. I just don't understand." Let me say it to you like this. I just don't understand. You know, I was out there living in the world. I was living for the devil. I gave my life to Jesus. You know, I gave up all that, surrendered my life to Jesus, and all hell has broke loose in my life. I just don't understand. I don't understand. You know, I don't. You know, I don't drink. I don't chew. I don't go with the girls that do. I stopped all that. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I pray. And I read the Bible, and I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. Well, let me ask you a question. Had Jesus done anything wrong? No, he never sinned. There was no guile in his mouth. He was following God. He was being led by the Spirit. And yet the devil came to tempt him and to test him. My brother and sister, don't think it's strange. When you're following God, you can be following God, being led by the Spirit of God. But just because you're following God and being led by the Spirit of God does not mean that the devil's going to leave you alone. So don't allow situations and circumstances and testings that come from the devil and from the things of this world to bring a question mark to your mind about God, whether God's word is true to you, whether God loves you. Because, see, people think like this. Well, I just don't understand. Why does God allow this? Why did God... There he is. Just like the enemy came to try to bring the question to Jesus. No, the Bible tells us this took place in the garden. Adam committed high treason. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 that Satan is the god of this world. Jesus said that the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. You remember in John chapter 9, there was a man who was blind, and yet Jesus healed this man, and yet the Pharisees and the people around asked the question, who sinned that caused this man to be blind? Did this man sin or did his parents sin? Is it a generational curse upon this man? Jesus said, neither. Nobody sinned. See, there's things in this earth, in this world that we deal with because of what took place in the garden. Now listen, Jesus came. Jesus was being led of the Spirit. Like I said, he was following his Father. He said, I only do those things I see my Father do. I only say the things I hear my Father say. And yet, the devil still came to tempt him. Not just here in the wilderness. He came many other times. The Scripture says he left him for a season. That doesn't mean it didn't say he left him forever. And see, the devil, spiritually speaking, he has a lease on this earth. There'll come a time when he will be bound and cast into the lake of fire. But right now, he's the God of this world. Now, he's not my God, and he's not your God as a believer. He's not your Lord. You've been delivered out from under his authority and kingdom when you were born again. But he still has the right to tempt you. And see, people don't understand this. Well, I just don't understand. I mean, I give my life to Jesus, and this bad thing come to my life. Hello, you're in the world. Now, you're not of the world, and I'm not of the world, but you're in this world. Now, any weapon that forms against you, it does not have to prosper in your life. We have victory, and we have authority, and we have the Word of God. That's why you have to put on the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. It is a good fight of faith. When you have a fight of faith, if you're in a fight, then that means you have an opponent. But it's the good fight of faith. And you have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. You have to establish your heart in the Word of God. And Jesus, through the Apostle Paul, and the revelation that he brought to him, he said, Above all, take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You'll have to take the sword. You'll have to put that armor on, and you'll have to walk with that in that armor every day of your life. But don't allow circumstances and temptations. You remember James said this in James chapter 1. He said, when a man is tempted, don't let him say God's tempted him. God does not tempt man with evil or with bad. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father. The things down here that are evil or bad, it's not God. But they will come against us. You've never been promised as a believer, once you gave your life to Jesus, that you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease and never have any situations or problems come against you. No challenges whatsoever. But yet, I've seen Christians who get challenged by the devil sit there and go, I just don't understand. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, understand this. Jesus was good. He went about doing good, but he was tempted and tested. The devil came against him, even when he was following God and being led by the Spirit. So that settles the question. God's not your problem. God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I've seen it. I've seen people get offended at God. They get mad at God, get upset, blame God, blame the preacher, blame everybody. Hallelujah. We'll stop there. Glory to God. We must follow Jesus' example. The devil always wants to try to put the question mark in your mind. He tried to put it in Jesus' mind. Because faith stops at the question mark. You'll quit trusting. If you start questioning the one, you know, even in the natural, you know, if someone I once trusted and all of a sudden I begin to question them and their heart and their motives and what they do, it's gonna alter or affect my trust in them. See, that's what the devil tries to do. He wants you to question God. He wants you to question yourself what God says about you, God's love towards you, what Jesus did for you. And he'll use situations and circumstances and all kinds of stuff to try to get you to question God, get offended at God. Don't take the bait. He's a thief and he's a liar and there's no truth in him. Hallelujah. The Lord loves you. He gave himself for you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to the next one. You ready? Let's go to the fifth chapter. Like I said, we could talk a lot about this. I'm just hitting the highlights. But I think these are important things we need to see and understand. Let's go to the fifth chapter. Oh, there's a lot of good things in the fifth chapter. But let's go to the 43rd verse. He said, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." Verse 44, here it is. You ready? "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." This is a scripture that I've always gone back to many times in my life. And it really, where the rubber meets the road, is just the bottom line is walking in love. Walking in the love of God. This is something we will always deal with in life. This is where we are truly being led by the Spirit. This is where we find out where spiritual maturity is or isn't. We deal with situations, we deal with people, we deal with family members, we deal with a spouse, we deal with a child, we deal with an employer or an employee. We deal with people, we deal with friends, once we called our friends, or we thought they were our friends. And I'm talking about even believers. And yet the devil will bring division and schism. And it's not the Lord. He'll bring strife and envy. That's the wisdom that's not from above. It's the wisdom that's in this world. And it opens the door to confusion and every evil work in our life. And yet Jesus realized this. And it's very important because it's like I said, it's the area where we find, listen, it's just something we deal with on a continual basis because we're always dealing with people. So we're going to have to make a decision when it comes to people. We're going to have to make a decision to pray for people, to bless them, and to do good. You don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. You don't render evil for evil, the scripture says. So you have to purpose this in your heart, and you have to get this in your heart. You know, God's word is a seed. You know, if you'll get this scripture, for example, scripture, verse 44 and others that I mentioned, and you look at those scriptures and you get them on the inside of you, you know those scriptures are designed to grow up and become what that scripture is in your life. But you have to open up your heart to it. In other words, you have to open up, feed on it, read it, listen to it, speak it out of your mouth. And it's an incorruptible seed, and it will grow. It will affect your heart. Because see, out of the heart proceeds things, Jesus said. So that's why we're talking about establishing our heart. Listen, especially before the coming of the Lord, there's a lot of stuff out there that's not love. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of division. But see, Jesus has already told us. He's already admonished us what we can do. And yes, we can. We can do all things through the one who lives inside of us. Because if we'll turn to him and acknowledge him, he will help us. His words are life. His word is an incorruptible seed. You put it in your heart, it will affect your heart. It will grow from your heart. It will become what that scripture says and is in your life and in my life. So vital. So vital. And yet, listen, like I said, this is really where you find how when he says be you perfect, he's talking about being mature, even as your father. We know the father's perfect and mature. But this is the area where we really find out. Because see, people goes, yeah, but you just don't, you know, you don't understand. You know, I'm not praying for them. I'm not blessing them. Listen, the thing they did was so ungodly. Well, let me ask you a question, since we're talking about it. Okay, what they did was ungodly. It was ungodly. It was wrong. It was bad. Well, what Jesus told you and me to do here is godly. So if you won't do what Jesus said, then are you ungodly? Because what he said was godly. He only said those things he heard his father say, including this scripture. And it came from God, his father. So this is godly. So if somebody did something that's ungodly towards you, and yet you don't want to operate in this, then how much more better are you than they? Really, you're just as ungodly as they are. I can feel the feedback right now. I can feel that feedback. Now, if you start going the other way, then what you're doing is you're operating under the law. And James says if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. If we don't extend grace and love and prayer and blessing to people. See, we forgive even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We're no different than they are in spirit. It's very important we understand that. But I'll tell you this. Here's what will help you. If you start praying for them, and even though if you don't feel like praying for them, I've had this happen in my life where there was a particular situation, and I won't call names or any of that deal, but I had to go to the Lord with it because it bothered me. I mean, the people bothered me. It affected my heart. And I told the Lord, because see, listen to me. If you're sincere with God, and you want what he wants in your life, and if you really truly want to walk in truth, not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Like John said, the Father has no greater joy than to hear and know that his children are walking in truth. If you want to be pleasing to God and walk in his truth, then you have to be honest with yourself. And that's where I was. And I said, Lord, I'm dealing with a situation with this, but it's affecting me. I need you to help me. I don't want this to be in my heart. I do not want any strife, any offense to live in my heart. I know it's spiritual poison. Help me, please. And the Lord said, okay, begin to pray for him. He brought this scripture to me, simple scriptures like this. So you know what I do? I got my Bible out, and I turned to this scripture, Matthew 5:44, and I read it. And I closed my Bible, and I began to pray. And I said, Lord, help me pray for them. And as I began to pray for them, even though at the beginning it was tough on my flesh, as I truly began to pray, because I knew this is right, I knew this is Jesus, I knew this is the Spirit of God, I knew this is the truth, as I began to pray, not only was I praying blessing for them and good for them, in return, and most of all, it began to affect my heart. And it began to change those feelings and those emotions, those things that the enemy, I knew, was trying to do in my heart. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's not flesh and blood. It changed me. And so even today, that particular situation, I have no problem praying, even today, for those people. Hallelujah. I have no ill will towards them. I want only good. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Glory to God. It will change your heart. Now, let's go to the sixth chapter. I'm going to have to get on my horsey here. We're going to get through this. Important scriptures. Important scriptures. Hallelujah. Before we go to chapter 6, the Holy Ghost arrested me. I want to say one other thing about this. This is such an important scripture. You know, you're the light. We could go back to other scriptures here in chapter 5 where Jesus said, you're the light. You're the salt. When he talked about this area of situation, when somebody's done you wrong or said things about you, or cursed you, or whatever, he said, if you just act like other people, I mean, people will love people that's good to them. We don't have no problem with that. But the area where you shine, the area where you produce salt and savor and flavor, spiritual flavor and aroma, and when you shine, is when these situations come up and you truly allow God, who has loved, to live through you. See, Jesus said in the upper room, he said, by this shall all men know. All men, I don't care who they are. They may not say it at the moment. They may not acknowledge it at the moment. They may not say it out of their mouth at the moment. But I'm telling you, they know in their heart, when they see divine love in action, and they see it from somebody, when they know that that person had the right, when I say had the right, they were done wrong, and yet they did not revile back. They did not render evil for evil. When people see that, they know you're different. It's a witness. It's a witness to them. Matter of fact, Peter said that God, even when unbelievers see it, God can use that example in their life in the day of their visitation when he comes to visit their hearts to draw them into his kingdom. The Holy Ghost will take that example and he will connect that while he's dealing with their heart. And that will be a part even of them bowing their knee and calling upon the name of the Lord. It's the light that affects the darkness in them. And it's the example that you set forth of light. Even it could be part of the salvation that the ones experience who are even your enemy. The way you bless and do good and pray, that in itself could be the means and the connection also where God even visits the one who is your enemy and changes their heart. It's that important. We got to get beyond the natural. We got to get beyond just the senses and the feelings and the emotions. We have to establish our heart, and we have to allow His Word to affect our heart. And then out of our heart flow the issues of life. Amen. Glory to God. We can move on now. Amen. It's so important. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the 6th chapter, verse 19. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." Verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Wow. You know, this is very important to me. It's a scripture in my life that I've looked at, and I knew when Jesus was saying these things, it was something that I would deal with in my life also on a continual basis. There's a life that is, and there is a life which is to come. Paul told Timothy, said, "Godliness is profitable for the life that now is and the life which is to come." And yet, when I grew up, what I could remember of church, most of the ministry or the teaching that I heard, or the preaching, I should say, more of it was preaching than teaching, because I was out of church for, as I got up my teenage years till I was 25 years old, but from about the age of 13 to 25, I was away from God. But those earlier years, I can remember as a teenager, 10, 11, 12 years old, even a little bit when I was smaller. But I can remember being in some revivals and a few services, and basically everything that was communicated was in the sweet by and by. It really, things weren't taught to really help us in the mean now and now, and to help us to walk in the salvation that Jesus purchased and paid for. You know, because there is a thief. We do have an adversary. He walketh about trying to devour people if he can. You know, and we have to resist him. We have to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil. We don't give him any place. We're not ignorant of his devices, but see, a lot of people were ignorant because they never were taught. They were religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught in a lot of cases. But I began to find out that God cared about my life here. And God would help us here. And that's what we're going to get into here in just a minute when we get down towards the end of this chapter. But once I came out and came back to the Lord, I began to see things in the Word of God about this great salvation that we enjoy, and it affects us spirit, soul, and body, and it has to do with the life that now is, not just when we all go to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be, but even now, God cares about us now. We're here now. We have a calling now. We have a race to run now. There's things that will oppose us. There are things that will try to keep us from fulfilling the purpose and the plan that God has for us. But yet, that doesn't, like I said, we don't have to be fearful or worried about that, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We can follow Jesus, be led by the Spirit, put the Word of God in our mouth, and say it is written, and put the devil on the run just like Jesus did. That's why we started out with this example in Matthew. I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but if we go back to it, basically what Jesus did is he spoke the Word to the devil. Even though the devil comes to your life to tempt you, even when you're following God and be led of God, listen, put him on the run by putting the Word in your heart and putting the Word in your mouth and speaking the Word to him. You say it is written. Take the sword of the Spirit. That's what I was referring to. Take the sword of the Spirit, put him on the run, and keep going. Keep running your race. Don't get focused on him. I don't care. Yes, he comes from time to time. He tries to thwart the plan of God. He tries to mess things up at times. So, you know, it's like the t-shirt that my pastor friend had. I saw him had a t-shirt on. He said, "The devil said what?" That's what he had on his t-shirt. It doesn't matter what the devil says. He's a liar. Okay? So, we got to follow God. And yet there's things in this life that God has for us. Down here, to do and to carry out. We have an assignment. We're born for such a time as this. Okay? And yet, there's things in this life that will try to interfere. The cares of this life will try to interfere, distract us. And I'll tell you a biggie, and that's trusting in mammon, serving mammon, money. You know, because, listen, we're not going to be religious here. We all use money. Money is a servant for us. We have to have money. Finances. That's how this world system operates. We have to have it. The Lord knows that. But he also knows how money connects with one's heart or how people can trust in money. But let me just say this to you, because I want to stay with the focal point here. When I came over into things of God and began to find out that there's more than just the sweet by and by, you know, I began to focus a lot of my attention on the Word of God and scriptures that would help me now walk through this life. Because when we get over there, we're not going to have no enemies. See, our enemies are here. You're not going to have no enemies in heaven. And so I needed to know how to walk in victory and things that will help me walk down here. But I also found out that even though that is so needful in my life, there's also an admonition of the Lord to us not just to lay up treasures and everything down here, especially concerning mammon and money. Matter of fact, I've learned and been taught and have an understanding in my heart about when I see the big picture and God is first and the kingdom of God is first and the gospel and how the gospel affects people's lives and how the Word of God it affects people's lives, then when it comes to finances and money, I don't want to put things above that. Even myself. And in so doing, the Lord tells us, he said, don't just lay up for down here. He totally gets it that we have to have things down here. Matter of fact, if you go back earlier, he says the Father knows the things we have need of even before we ask him or pray about things. He knows what we need. But he wants us to be spiritually minded and not just earthly minded, even though we have to deal with things on this earth. And one of the things he said here, he said, listen, don't lay up treasures down here on the earth where things can corrupt and rust, but lay up treasures in heaven. And he said this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is a major scripture. There's something about money in your heart. And how, like I said, a person can trust in the wrong thing. They can begin to trust in money or in treasure. No, we trust in God. I said we trust in God. Money can serve us well. See, people misquote the scripture in Timothy. They say money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. Money's money. It's the love of money. See, because love has to do with heart. It's heart issue. It's what you love. It's what you trust in and what's dear to you. What has your heart? Money has a lot of people's heart. Even people that don't have it. That's another deal. Let me say this to you as we move on. Holy Ghost. I trust that the Spirit of God communicates this to your heart. There's a greater. We need to establish our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is nigh. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, begin to focus on heavenly things, on the kingdom of God. Begin to ask the Lord and pray. This is not manipulation, not pulling on you. I would only want you to do what you pray and ask Him, and what He would speak to your heart and reveal to your heart to do. And like His mother said, whatever He says to you, you do it. Not what I say to you, what He says to you, what His Word says. But I beseech you, especially now going forward, if you haven't. I mean, some of you listening to me, listen, I'm preaching to the choir here. But I'm telling you, don't let the things of this earth consume you and get your attention, get your heart, get your treasure. Begin to sow into the kingdom of God. Sow your finances into the things of God, into people, into blessing people, into helping people, into the gospel. Not only will it profit you now, and you can reap from it now, but you will actually lay up treasure and be rewarded in the time to come. You know, Jesus will say things, people can get all their reward here. I don't want all my reward here. It's not that I don't want to be blessed or receive things from God here. But let me say something to you. I'm not looking for all of my reward just to come here on this earth. And the Lord showed this to me in my heart. That's why I bring this scripture. This is a key scripture in my life. I'm laying up, hallelujah, for the time to come. Not just for here, but for the time to come. Thank God I'm learning how to walk here. And I'm being taught more than just a sweet by and by. But yet at the same time, I don't want to disregard what Jesus said here about the time to come and treasures in heaven either. That's my point. That's what I wanted to get across to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The 33rd verse, he finishes all this up because he gets into some things. He knows what tries to distract people, what captures people's heart, what brings concern and fear. And yet in verse 33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all these things, plural. Everything that concerns with your life, with you being provided for, your food, your drink, your house, your transportation, your employment, your children, the supply and the needs that they have. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all the other things shall be added to us. Hallelujah. Like I said, there's many other things we could get into these scriptures and talk about the scriptures right before it and after it. But this is the deal. There's so much out there that is wanting your attention. It's wanting your affection. Listen to me. It wants your heart. It wants your heart. And the devil will use situations. I'm talking about just when it comes to basic needs in our life. He will piggyback on that, and he will distract you, and he will get your focus and attention on that. You know, if there's an ox in the ditch, you have to get it out sometimes, even on Sunday. You remember Jesus talked about that? And basically, it's not just an ox. It's a point. It's a principle here. There's times people get so legalistic with things. And Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, if you had an ox in the ditch, would you not go and rescue it and get it out? Well, sometimes we have ox in the ditch. I'm not talking about literal ox, but I'm talking about we have things that have to be taken care of. And they need to be taken care of. But I'm telling you right now, there's many, many people, even believers who have called on the name of the Lord, who have allowed the concern and the cares of this life for provision so that they can have a house payment, they can make their house payment and buy some clothes, and they will forsake the assembling of themselves. As we see the day approaching, they will forsake the assembling of themselves and feeding on the Word of God and establishing their heart. And they'll go work over here. They'll work extra. They'll work jobs so we can have a roof over our head, so we can have clothes and food. But what does verse 33 say? There's a lot of distractions out there. And there's a lot of things bidding for your attention and your affection and your heart. Listen, that is not a condemnation. I'm telling you, there's a reason why he said these things. And his words are true. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And then you see people get in situations when their heart's not established. And listen, thank God for his mercy. And God loves us and he helps us all he can help us. But sometimes when people don't establish their hearts, then they get in a situation because they've been distracted. And then they want somebody else to sort of bail them out or help get them out or God get them out. And listen, he's a good God. But listen, everything's of faith. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Let me say something to you. It's with your heart that you believe unto anything. The way you receive things from heaven or from the Father is by faith. It's with the heart you believe. And if your heart is being affected or it's meant to, its affection or attention's over here because of just other distractions. See, the devil comes after the word. I'm getting way ahead of myself. We'll get into this in Mark. And one of the way he comes and steals the word and chokes the word is just through the cares of this life. Just the desire to have extra. You know, bless God, I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to see to it. You know, I'm going to work extra. It doesn't talk about giving my attention to the word, assembling and fellowshipping and worshiping God with other believers. I'm going to make sure, bless God, we have enough. And I don't care what it takes. I grew up this way, and I'll never go back there again, and I'm going to make sure I'm. And yet, money, they can't carry their money with them. And yet, when they get in situations that are vital or life-threatening, their heart's not established. You know, sometimes things can be changed, and sometimes people can get in a place in a crunch, and they can cram, and they can get it. Just like sometimes people can cram on a test when they should have been giving themselves to it all along. Sometimes people can cram in the last hour, and they can make enough, and they may make it through, but you know, a lot of people don't. They can cram at the last hour, and yet they should have been establishing themselves, and they didn't do it, and they get in that last hour, and they're not able to make it. And it's not the teacher's fault. In other words, I'm saying it's not God's fault. Hallelujah. You still love me? No, I mean, hey, come back next week. Praise the Lord. Come Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord wants you to share things and not be concerned. Listen, I love people. I love you. But sometimes we don't need just what we call a feel-good message. Listen, I want to feel good. But we need the whole Word of God, and we need things that will help us. Because let me tell you something. We're at the end of this thing. And I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of spirit. There are a lot of voices. There are a lot of things out there right now that wants to distract people. Not only from keeping them from walking in the love of God, walking in that realm, trying to get them over in strife and envy and division, so not just confusion and division comes, but the devil can bring other things into your life. Every evil work can come to you. There's other things he can piggyback on. And next thing you know, you got other issues in your home. Not just what you think about what's going on in the streets in a city. or with a president, or with a color or race of a people. He's piggybacking now, and he'll bring sickness and disease to your house and to your body. And you say, how that can that be connected? Well, what did James say? Not only is there confusion, but every. What does every mean? Everything that's evil and every work of the enemy can come through it and by it. Hallelujah. Let's love. Let's walk in love. Let's pray. Let's give ourselves to the Lord. Let's ask Him to help us. Let's get focused on the things that really matter. Not only will it profit you here, but you'll lay up. Listen, it will affect your future. This is so temporal, and yet so many people are so deceived, and the smoke screen and the blindness is on their mind and their eyes that they just think this is it. And yet I'm not saying it's not important, but there's so much more in the ages to come. You're writing your resume right now. What you do now is what He's going to entrust you with thousands and thousands of years. Your faithfulness, the obedience of faith in what we believe about His words. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. So I love you, and I'm going to speak the truth in love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord loves us. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. He blessed Abraham. He increased him. But here's the thing about Abraham. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to get through with Matthew. Here's the thing about Abraham. Abraham had a covenant with God. And even when God showed up for him and God delivered Abraham and he had victory over all the enemies. And Melchizedek showed up and blessed him. And Abraham gave tithes of all to Melchizedek. Honored him with the substance. And then the king of Sodom tried to make a deal with him. And yet, even though Abraham was very blessed and God made Abraham very rich and blessed him, yet money and riches did not have his heart. Matter of fact, he told the king of Sodom, he said, listen, I won't even take a shoe latchet from you. I don't need your money. You know, a lot of people, if somebody wanted to give them things and bless them and give them money and stuff, oh, sure, I'll take it. Not with Abraham. You know, that's where greed can come in. That's when the wrong heart can shine or show up. Where that's your money, you're serving that, and it's your God. But Abram told him, he said, I want him to take a shoe latchet from you. Unless you would say that you've made me rich. No, He's the one. He's the one that blesses me. He's the one I'm in covenant with. He's the one I honor. Oh, glory to God. That's why Jesus is forever a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's why it's such a big deal with me to honor Him with my treasure and with my substance, my first fruits. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm not looking to people. I'm not looking to man. Hallelujah. I'm looking unto Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You ready? Man, where am I at here? Let's go to chapter 7. We'll finish it up. I think this is it. This is something here, chapter 7, verse 7. He said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? You know, in Luke's version, he says, and he added one more thing. He said, if he asks for some eggs, will he give him a scorpion? He said, if you then being evil just means carnal, earthly, natural, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You know, this right here should settle the will of God, the love and the will of God. So many people question whether it's God's will to heal them, to bless them, to do good for them. And yet Jesus, the expressed image of God Almighty in person, God in the flesh, shows up and he said, listen, if your children, if you being natural, earthly, your children want something good, will you give them something bad? I'm just paraphrasing. If they ask for bread, bread's good for them. Rocks, not good. Kids don't need to eat rocks. Dogs don't need any rocks. I got a good friend. His son's dog ate a rock. It cost him a few thousand dollars to have surgery, or over a thousand. Bread, good. It's okay for the dog to eat some bread. Rock, bad. That's a dog. Had to do surgery. What about your children? You know, Jesus was not just making up stuff. He said, I only say the things I hear my Father say. He said, if you being earthly want to give good, because the rock would be bad, the snake would be bad, the scorpion would be bad, the fish is good, the eggs are good, a lot of protein, won't harm them. He said, how much more does your Father give good things to those that ask him? And in Luke's gospel, he said, even when you ask for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, good. Holy Ghost, not bad. Speaking in tongues, good. Speaking in tongues, not bad. I've even heard that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, that doesn't surprise me. There was people in the Bible days that said Jesus had a devil. So it doesn't surprise me when people talk about things. That's where we get the phrase blaspheming the Holy Spirit. When you say something that is of the devil, when it's the Holy Ghost or the anointing that was working in and through Jesus, or when it's a work of the Spirit, that's blaspheming the Spirit. When you say it's a demon or a devil. Because in the Scripture, in the Gospels, it talks about if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you know, it won't be forgiven, that scripture. And he said, because they said he had a devil or a demon. No, Holy Spirit, good. Being filled with the Spirit is good. God is good. God gives good things. God does not withhold. You don't withhold food from your children. You don't give them something that would harm them or hurt them. That's not your desire, your will. How much more? Hallelujah. You want sickness for your kids? You want your kids to have leukemia, cancer, heart disease? You want your children to be blind, can't see, deaf? Why would you ever question or even wonder if it's God's will to heal any sickness or any disease? I tell you why. Because you've been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. It's something you just heard. It's just tradition of men. It's something that's been passed down. It goes back to where people begin to question, well, I just don't understand why this happened. And then because something happened that was bad, even when people are Christian and go to church, well, I just happen to say, my aunt, she went to church. She never missed, you know, she was just in church all the time. She was, if anybody loved the people and served the church and served God, she did. And I don't understand. She died. Tell me how come she died. Well, I don't know why your aunt died. There could be many reasons. And there's things sometimes we don't even know. We think we do, but we don't. Because you can't see on the heart. You look on the outward appearance. That's why you're talking about all that your aunt did. But see, God looks on the heart. And God does not condemn any of us. I don't know why people pass away, but I know this. I know that He's good. And He doesn't bring bad. He's not the author of bad. He doesn't tempt people with evil. He's good. And Jesus began to demonstrate this from the get-go. So I say these things to eliminate the question in your mind, in your heart about the Father. You've got to settle this. You have to establish your heart in this. Because if you don't, the devil will take advantage of you. And ultimately, he'll get you offended at God or the people of God or at the Word. And he'll steal that Word from you. Oh, glory to God. Jesus said in verse 24, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And they all were astonished when he said these things, because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." We're going to finish with this because he said this. We're talking about establishing our heart. He said, "Let me tell you about a couple of people." And everybody's one of the two. Everybody comes under the category of wise or foolish. There's no exemptions here. Because people will either hear the word of God, people reject it, some people don't even want to hear it. And the devil, they don't even esteem it. He comes immediately. He's already stole the word. But the devil tries to steal the word of God from people. But Jesus said, "Let me tell you about a guy who will hear my words and he'll put them into practice in his life. They'll be a part of his life. He'll have his heart established. And out of his heart, he will walk in the word and walk by the word and walk by what I said in my word and what I've said." He said, "The storms of life will come to that house, to that man. But that man will stand." And yet, when people don't hear the word of God and actually put that word into practice in their life, believe that word, acknowledge that word, confess that word, allow it to be a part of their life, then they get in situations and sometimes their house falls. Because their house is not built upon the rock. Their heart's not established. Oh, glory to God. But you know what? That's why we're here. And that's why we're looking to Him. And that's why we're opening up the Scriptures. And we're looking at these Scriptures to help us. And to help us recognize what's important. What's not important. What takes precedent. What means more. We want to seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Hallelujah. We want to hear His words. We want to establish our heart. We want to walk in this realm where the Spirit of God in us is leading us. And even though things come against us, whether it's the tempter, whether it's someone who tries to be our enemy, who would say things against us or despitefully use us or whatever. No, we're walking. We've got our hearts established. We understand the reality. We're walking in a revelation and understanding. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened so that we can walk as He walked. You know, the Bible says we're to walk even as He walked. Jesus said you can be perfect even as your Father's perfect. People say, "No, I can't." Well, Jesus said you could. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands. Let's just lift our hands. Father, I lift my hands to you, and we lift our hands to you, Lord. Father, I trust that that which has been said and spoken, I trust that it will be received in a spirit of truth and in a spirit of love. Not in a condemning way, but in a loving way, in a redemptive way, to recognize how important it is to see and to open our hearts to understand and know what matters and what doesn't matter, what's important and what's not important. Even as Paul prayed the prayer that the love of God would abound yet more and more in all knowledge and all judgment, that we would be sincere and we would approve the things that are excellent and be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Let the love of God abound so much in us that it makes decisions for us. It makes the call. Let us approve the things that are excellent. Let us discern what really matters. Help us to see in our heart. Help us to recognize what's not God, what's demonic, what's deceptive, what's a distraction, what's there that would try to choke and pull us away, what would try to keep us from being established. I pray in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for light. I thank you for understanding. I thank you for truth. I thank you for freedom and liberty. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If you're watching and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, and inside of you right now, you know that perchance for any reason, if something happened and you left this life, you took your last breath. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. This is not about fear. This is about God's love for you and what He's provided for you. But if something were to happen to you and you took your last breath, and you truly in your heart, if you're honest, you don't know if you would go to heaven. It's not based on works. It's not based on where you went to church or, you know, that you believe Jesus was a person. Listen, you don't believe on Jesus like a historical figure like George Washington. I mean, there's people believe that Jesus is a real person, came. Just like they believe that George Washington was here. I mean, I never met George Washington, seen pictures of him. But I never met him personally. Likewise, listen, you can believe that Jesus was real and came. The demons believe, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about He's your only way to the Father. He's the only way. He's your security. He's your surety. He died and shed His blood to pay for your penalty and my penalty. That which would separate us from God, even in eternity, He made the payment. Now, all you have to do is accept Him as your payment. Accept His life. Accept Him into your life. Will you do that right now? Just say this. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I believe that you died for me and that you were raised for me so that I could know, so that I could have eternal life, so that I would never be separated from you or from the Father. And I believe in you now. I call upon you, Jesus, as my Lord. I confess you as my Lord, and I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, and I believe somebody did, then please, as I always say, tell somebody. Let somebody know. Talk to somebody who's a Christian, a believer. They'll help you. Praise God. And if for some reason they don't want to help you, don't get angry with them. Pray for them, remember? Then go find somebody else. And you'll find somebody who's hungry and wants to help disciple you and minister to you. Share the word with you. Amen. Listen, we love you. I pray you have a great rest of the week. I bless you in the name of Jesus. We look forward to this coming Sunday. Hallelujah. We'll be back here live at 11 a.m. On Facebook Live. Have a great week. See you then.